This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Support is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org. Coming up next, it's West Virginia Morning. It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A Morgantown Summer Music Clinic is taking local kids and turning them into rock stars, teaching them the importance of the arts while introducing them to new and exciting people.
A lot of kids I don't know in different bands have become a lot of my good friends. All of them have, really.
We visit the Summer Music Clinic Pop Shop coming up on West Virginia Morning. First, this news.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from American Express Open, which is committed to helping businesses turn their best ideas into reality. American Express Open wants to help with money and know-how so businesses can say yes to their best ideas and get business done. From Optum, committed to tackling the biggest challenges in healthcare with data-driven solutions designed to improve outcomes and make the system better for everyone. Learn more at Optum.com. Optum, how well gets done. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Last year, Richwood Middle and High School were damaged beyond repair in historic flooding, and the schools moved into temporary spaces for the 2016-2017 school year. But when the schools moved, the kids didn't just lose their buildings. They also lost their school-based health center. Now the center is fighting to continue serving the kids, but as Kara Lofton reports, a bureaucratic quagmire is slowing the progress.
School-based health centers are a big deal in places like Richwood because parents don't always have transportation, time, or money to drive their children out of town for care. So if they don't get care at school, they may not get it at all.
Are you going to be working in here? You can stay,
Richwood Middle School principal Gene Collins glances around the office he now shares with the school counselor, looking for space to talk privately. There isn't one.
It's been one of the challenges.
Yeah. For the past year, Richwood Middle School has been sharing a building with Cherry River Elementary School, a couple miles across town, after their own building was flooded. It worked, mostly, but was crowded.
Richwood Middle and Richwood High School actually shared a school-based clinic. We were one of the first school-based clinics in the state of West Virginia back in the early to mid-90s, and it's been in place ever since. For many of my staff, for many of my students, that was their primary care provider.
According to New River Health, the federally funded health center that ran the clinic, 99% of Richwood's middle and high school students were enrolled in the clinic. But when the middle school moved in with Cherry River Elementary School, there wasn't enough room for the health center to follow.
We have always anticipated that when we get into our temporary modulars, that we would have a a school-based clinic moving in.
The modular semi-temporary classrooms that will become Richwood Middle are being built with federal emergency management assistance money at the back of the Cherry River Elementary property.
In fact, FEMA has paid for a separate modular for them. There is a separate clinic building, which was going to be very nice. The building is sitting there, but now with the federal regulations, HRSA will not approve the clinic because they're saying our address is the same as Cherry River Elementary, which the scope has been assigned to another provider already.
The Health Resources and Services Administration, or HRSA, is the federal oversight agency that manages the federally funded health centers. According to HRSA, New River Health applied for a temporary permit to serve the middle school families. When that permit ran out, New River submitted a request to make it permanent, but the paperwork they submitted to HRSA was incomplete. Then, there's another issue. Cherry River Elementary hadn't had a school-based health center before the flood, but Camden-Ongoli, another federally funded health center, had been planning on opening one there. When Richwood Middle School moved into Cherry River after the flood, though, the middle school took the space the health center would have used. So, for 2016, neither the elementary nor the middle school had services on site. But Camden is planning on starting one in the elementary school for next year and has permission from HRSA for those kids. But now that the middle school is right next door, who has the jurisdiction to care for those kids?
And that's a complicated process, but basically we have to prove a need in the community for those students in order for HRSA to approve us to go into that location.
That's John Schultz, Chief Executive Officer of New River Health.
And because there's another FQHC up in that area, HRSA has to look at, you know, what services are they providing and are they maxed out, basically, can they continue to provide services to additional students.
Alicia Hamrick is the mother of a seventh grader at Richwood Middle School. She says for her, the center is much more convenient than driving her daughter 40 minutes to the doctor. For others, it's a lifeline.
A lot of the families around here, they don't have vehicles, they don't have transportation to do that, and they just don't have it. And it needs to come back.
But unless the health center is able to cut through the red tape, many of those middle school families may not have the care they need. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
The Appalachian Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedim Foundation, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. Nurse midwives have delivered babies in the Ohio Valley for nearly 100 years. But as Mary Meehan reports, that traditional practice is getting a new push with the opening of a clinic at the University of Kentucky.
That new furniture smell lingers in the clinic bathed in earth tones, but the waiting room is already full. Nurse midwife Joanne Burris walks briskly, her sensible clogs a counterpoint to the smooth jazz filling the air.
Hello,
I'm Joanne.
Nice to meet you.
Inside exam room 3, Emily and Jonathan Robertson wait to hear the heartbeat of their unborn baby.
That's part of the appointment.
Yeah.
Every time.
Hyden, Kentucky, home of the Frontier Nursing Service, was the start of the American nurse midwife in the 1920s. Now transformed into the Frontier Nursing University, it educates 30% of America's midwives. Still, dad-to-be Jonathan needed some convincing at first. But now he says,
we look at it as something that's natural. We don't look at it as a medical problem. It's something that's natural.
Nearly a century ago, Frontier nurses famously visited patients on horseback. Today, 97% of midwives are affiliated with hospitals, and overall they deliver 12% of the nation's vaginal births. Emily says it's the personal attention that matters.
When I call, they listen to every little concern I have, even if it's just like a weird pain, you know. They'll be like, it's okay, this is normal, or hey, this is not normal, you know, you need to come in.
Joanne Burris understands why women want something different.
My first birth was a natural birth. I felt very disempowered. I felt really, it was fairly traumatic for me. With the second birth, I wanted a new experience.
Burris was so inspired by her own second birth experience, she quit a job she loved and went back to school. She's been a midwife for 7 months.
When I felt the calling to become a nurse midwife, I felt like I was being obedient to my higher power, who I call God. And feel like that has been confirmed over and over again. And sometimes I find myself having to blink back tears in a birth because I realize this is why I was supposed to be here. It makes me cry now. It's a privilege. It's very much an honor to be able to hold space for a woman while she becomes a mother.
A space more women seek as a traditional practice gets new life. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Mary Meehan in Lexington, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52.
Pop Shop for me.
West Virginia 511 is reporting a vehicle accident in Lewis County on southbound I-79 at mile marker 95 near Weston. And one in Ohio County. There's an accident on eastbound I-470 at mile marker 3 near Wheeling. Variable cloudiness today, a chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 80s. Rain and thunderstorms tonight with some heavy rain, lows in the 60s and low 70s. Rain and thunderstorms tomorrow with highs in the 80s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. We continue our 30 days of West Virginia music series this morning with a change of tunes, Joni Deutsch. Over the past month, we've heard from artists in all types of genres who are making the hills come alive with the sound of music. And that includes Pop Shop, a school of rock based in Morgantown. Earlier this week, Joni spoke with some of the creative forces involved in Pop Shop, including the school's up-and-coming rock stars.
Pop Shop for me, it's just a learning experience.
It's this program for kids
where you can learn to play instruments and then you play shows at usually 123 Pleasant Street.
I started Pop Shop by playing the guitar, actually.
I had went to a lot of Pop Shop shows, and I really like the idea of being up on stage and playing songs, so I decided I wanted to be in Pop Shop.
Yeah, my dad used to be a drummer. So he inspired me to drum.
I've played bass, keyboard,
and played the drums and played piano.
And guitar, and I sang.
I actually sang Weezer. It's called Island in the Sun.
1999 Prince. That's the one that we're just learning. And that one's a more of a rock one, not a pretty rock one.
And I've always had a huge fear of singing in public, so this has kind of helped with my stage fright in general.
I was just a little bit nervous on my first day, on my first Pop Shop show, but because I never played played a Pop Shop show before.
And it was the first time I ever really went out and addressed my personality on the stage.
But the next time I played, I wasn't nervous at all because I just love being on stage.
It's a moment I won't forget for a long time.
I would tell you that
it's great. I don't know how else to describe it. Like,
a lot of kids I don't know in different bands have become a lot of my good friends. All of them have, really.
Pop Shop is awesome.
That pretty much covers it, I think.
Can you introduce yourself and what you do?
Yeah, my name is Chris Russell. I'm the executive director of Pop Shop West Virginia, located here in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Have you incorporated West Virginia music into this, I don't know if you call it curriculum, but have you incorporated it into what you do at Pop Shop?
We have never done just a series or a session on just West Virginia musicians, but we have used Bill Withers. He's one of our favorites, of course, who's a native son of West Virginia. And our students really, really relate to songs like Lean on Me and Ain't No Sunshine. And it's been great to been able to use him as a model and also to actually have some time with him. We actually got to Skype with him back in December of 2015, and it was pretty incredible that he gave as much time as he did to the students, and we were all really blown away.
So how does Pop Shop fit into the greater West Virginia music community? I mean, what has Pop Shop been able to do with the West Virginia music community, and in return, what have the children been able to gain from that?
The thing that we strive for here in West Virginia is, and the, when we Skype with artists all over the world, we get to ask them the question of how were you shaped by where you grew up musically and as a person? And we were always given really great answers from that, because I think that a lot of students in West Virginia and our students may think, well, I'm just from West Virginia and I'm not sure exactly I can ever really do anything because I'm, you know, from here. And Bill Withers might be the perfect example of what you can actually do as a West Virginian. And when we asked him, being from West Virginia, how did that shape you as a person and as a musician? And he talked about perseverance, that, you know, he was going to work through everything and make it happen. And I think a lot of students really need to hear that. And we're trying to produce musicians and people that really think like that, that they can do anything from any, be from anywhere, do anything they can really put their mind to and also work hard enough to actually do.
Yeah. And even so, you've also shown them the different sides of the music scene. Like, I know that you guys, you know, you're using 123 Pleasant Street, or you're using other venues around the state to, I guess, either show off what the kids are doing, but also show West Virginians what kids are able to accomplish in the state.
Exactly. The end product for us is not just showing that, hey, our students can play instruments. I think a lot of students get that feeling from lessons alone, from playing by themselves in a room, or doing small recitals for their parents. They can feel like, hey, I'm really learning my instrument. I'm really doing this great thing with my instrument. But I think when we put them out into the community and let other people see what they're doing and let them feel the feedback from people who just wandered in off the street that don't know anything about the Pop Shop program or about these youth bands around here, when you see 90 students in a row performing in groups, it's pretty incredible.
That was Chris Russell, Executive Director of Pop Shop in Morgantown, West Virginia. We also heard the voices of Pop Shop's music students, 15-year-old Sydney, 8-year-old Zora, and Hazel. Listen to the rest of the interview and see the young rockers in action at wvpublic.org/wvmusic. Support for 30 Days of West Virginia Music is provided by Kinship Goods, proud supporter of DIY music and the arts. Local, shipped worldwide at kinshipgoods.com. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting, WVPB Charleston, WVBY Beckley, WVBL Bluefield, WVPW Buchanan, WVWV Huntington, WVEP Martinsburg, WVKM Matewan, WVPM Morgantown, WVPG Parkersburg, WVDS Petersburg, WVWS Webster Springs, WVNP Wheeling, and we're online at wvpublic.org. Variable cloudiness today, a chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 80s. Rain and thunderstorms tonight, some storms with